Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Dear friend, we're going to continue our study on the times that Jesus said, I am. This is the third and probably the last on this series. We've looked at other passages that Jesus said, I am, and we see the significance of his usage of that phrase. And today we focus upon what he said in John chapter 11. In John 11, Jesus was teaching beyond the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan, and news came to him about the sickness of his friend Lazarus. Well, he delayed his coming to Bethany until Lazarus had died. Now, that was not due to unconcern or lack of compassion. He was going to do what he did to bring glory to God. This was an event that he was going to use for a greater purpose than simply healing a sick man. When he came, the sisters said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now they realized he had power over disease, but Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Now they thought that he spoke of the eventual ultimate resurrection of everybody. In verse 24, Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Friend, there is going to be a last day, and that will be the resurrection. But that's when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, in other words, he carried with him all the necessary force to bring about the resurrection and to bring about eternal life. Such a power belongs only to deity. And although physical death is inevitable, spiritual life is possible. Death is the enemy of man, physically and spiritually. But we can enjoy a victory over both the physical and the spiritual death in Christ, such as the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this victory, this resurrection, this life, is conditioned upon man's obedient belief in Jesus Christ. There is no other who has the power to make such an offer to mankind. And man either makes his peace with God through Christ, or he forfeits the blessings that he could have had. He's subjected, rather, to the punitive consequences of his rejection of the Son of God. I suppose one of the most familiar statements of Jesus was where he used the phrase in John chapter 14 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, Jesus had just been telling his disciples that he would die, he would be killed. He had also told the apostles how that they would forsake him. He told Peter how Peter would deny him. They all didn't think that would happen, but it would happen, and it did happen. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He comforted them as best he could. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that while I am there you may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Well, that provoked Thomas to ask, Lord, how can we know the way? What is the way? What are you talking about? And that's when Jesus said, I am the way. Access to the Father is by Jesus Christ, dear friend. He's the way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. And furthermore, he called himself the truth. He was not only the way, he was the truth. And what's the value of truth? Well, in John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It is by the truth that we can be made free of that which would otherwise destroy us. In the person of Christ and in his work, we find all the truth that's necessary to reach the mansions of the Father. Now, this claim of being the truth, that's significant, especially in our day. We hear sometimes today some saying, well, you can't really know the truth. There's not really any truth. You can only search for the truth, and you'll never find the truth. Oh, but Jesus said, I am the truth. You know, you need to ask those people, he said, you can't know the truth. And you just ask them, do you know that to be true? When they say there's no absolute truth, just ask them, are you absolutely sure of that? Are you sure that's the truth? When they say you can't find the truth, or you know you can't find the truth, how did you find the idea that you can't find the truth? You see, those who would like to deny the truth want to go their own way and do their own thing without the consequences that come by following that kind of path. But Jesus is the truth, and if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to follow the truth. He is the truth. And Jesus again affirmed himself as the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, his disciples so often found in his discourses the emphasis upon life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He taught that he was the water of life. Here again, he shows he's the very place of life. And all who truly live and have an eternal life will have that eternal life with God, but he must go through Jesus Christ, because he's the way, and there is no other way. And men might try to find what they want some other way, but there is no way but the way of Christ. But again, he said, I am something, in John the 15th chapter. Now, in John chapter 15, Jesus calls attention to something with which those in Palestine were very familiar, and that was the vineyards. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Again, we see the words of Jesus like those that he used when I'm the good shepherd. These are figurative words. These are symbolic words. I am the door of the sheepfold. That's a symbolic word. That's a figurative word. I am the true bread. He's not literally bread, but he was teaching there that they must take nourishment from him. And according to the teaching of Psalm 80, the vine was a symbol of those who belonged to God. And with the coming of the faith of Jesus Christ, Israel, that had been God's chosen people for many years, they would no longer be God's vine. It's the Lord's church that's the Lord's vine now. Christ is the true vine. One must have that relationship with Christ and that of the branches to the vine. You see, the disciples of Christ are called the branches. I heard a man one time say that the branches were denominations. Why, friend, denominationalism is nowhere found in Scripture. There wasn't any denominations that existed, and there doesn't any of them exist today by the authority of God. We're told, and by the words of Christ, what the branches are. Let me read again to you in verse 4, 5, and 6. Abide in me, and I in you. He's talking about persons. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. There's nothing about denominations here. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Notice now, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them together and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He said, ye are the branches, if a man abide in me. And a man must continue to abide in the vine, and Christ is that vine. Here's the emphasis upon the Christian's responsibility to bear fruit for the Lord. And the branch that does not bear fruit, what happens to it? Why, it's severed from the vine. It's gathered and it is burned. Once it was attached to the vine, but now it has become a branch that wouldn't bear fruit, and therefore it is cut off. Why, that's a death blow in itself, to this idea that you can't fall. That's a false doctrine anyway. So in saying that he's the true vine, Jesus once again makes a very important point regarding him. He is the avenue to the Father's love. He is the one in whom we must abide in order to be pleasing to God. We see how that Christ is the vine and we are dependent upon him, and to bear fruit in his name, he wants to produce good branches. Well, I want to close the thoughts on the times that Jesus said, I am, by referring to one other thing, and that's in John chapter 4. When Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, Jesus told her things about herself, and she realized that Jesus was a prophet. And she looked for the coming of a Messiah, and she said when the Messiah came, why, he would tell them all things, things that they needed to know. And that's when Jesus said in verse 25 of John 4, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus is saying, as for the Messiah, I am he. Yes, dear friend, Jesus above all else is the long-looked-for, prophesied, and promised Messiah and the Savior of mankind. What do we learn from the statements of Jesus? Well, he said before Abraham was, I am. That shows his eternal existence. That proves he is deity. In John 6, he said, I am the bread of life. He's the source of the spiritual nourishment for mankind. Again, in John 8, I am the light of the world. He lights us and keeps us from the darkness of sin. In John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 10, twice he said, I am. I am the door into the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. And here in John chapter 6, he said, John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally in John 15, I am the true vine. And finally in John chapter 4, we go back and we see what he said to the Samaritan woman. She said, when the Messiah comes, why, he'll tell us the things that we'll need to know. Jesus said, the one that's talking to you, I am he. Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. Now, these statements of Jesus, they're so important to all of us. Of course, we realize that the Greeks came and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Dear listening friend, if we'll listen to what Christ said when he said, I am, we will see Jesus. We will see who he is. We will see what he does. We'll see his concern for us. We will see he is the way of salvation. We will see he is the only way of salvation. And we must come with obedient faith to the doctrine of Christ, believing in Christ as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to rise to walk in a newness of life. Why? Because Jesus said, I am. Yes, Christ could say to me and to you, I am what you need. I am that upon which you are dependent. Dear friends, we are so thankful that Christ has revealed himself to us. Will you not take advantage of God's only way of salvation, and that by and through his Son? We appreciate you listening to our program. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.